regularly had issues around Christmas periods when website was down completely. That's crazy. Okay, if you are going to be down on Christmas, that is probably your peak sales period, and the website is going down during that time. Number one, you are losing sales. Number two, you are probably going to be losing your ranking on Google as well. And that's not good for the e-commerce site.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at independent ERP and digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. The smaller e-commerce platforms might claim to be cheaper than other mainstream platforms such as Shopify or BigCommerce. They might also have claims such as not charging the transaction fee. But let's face it, most e-commerce platforms are owned or have an alliance with payment companies. That's how they make money. Running an e-commerce platform is expensive, and the fee that you pay barely covers the cost of running the platform. So is EKM PowerShop really a deal as they claim? In today's episode, we are going to independently review EKM PowerShop's capabilities. We covered many grounds, including the affiliation of e-commerce merchants with payment providers. Finally, we covered the risks with the smaller e-commerce providers and why these risks may not be worth the discount you might be getting on your transactions through smaller vendors. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And if you are joining for the first time, this is part of our e-commerce series, for which we meet every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. We review one technology or the vendor related to e-commerce community. For today, we are going to be reviewing EKM PowerShop. And this is probably not a very well-known e-commerce platform. They are slightly on the smaller side. So we are going to have a lot of fun discussing that. Before that, I would quickly introduce myself, and then we are going to start with the briefing. If you don't know me, I am your host, Sam Gupta, principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the ERP, e-commerce, and digital transformation consulting firm. We help our clients when they are looking for any sort of help in finding out different technologies, as well as the finalizing the strategy and the architecture until go live of these all of systems combined together. So let's get back to today's topic. But before that, if you're in the audience, and if you guys have any sort of questions and comments, we are going to be reviewing them during the show, and we'll try to respond to them. If you run out of time, then we'll make sure that you guys get your answers. So on that note, I am going to start with the quick briefing of this particular solution and where they sort of fit in the e-commerce ecosystem. So as I mentioned, they are probably more on the smaller side of the spectrum. And when I say smaller, what that means is really the size of the company that they are going to be targeting and the size of the company they are going to be fit for. So this is going to be below Shopify. So anybody who is starting on their e-commerce journey, they are probably going to be considering one of these platforms. The comparable for this platform is probably going to be Square, Wix, really, and maybe GoDaddy, some of those smaller ones. Even if you are putting your website for the first time, really want to try out how the e-commerce is going to work, that's where these guys sort of fit in. Overall, from the technology perspective, obviously they are going to be slightly on a leaner side. In general, the way their pricing is going to be, it's going to be very comparable to Shopify as well as some of the similar platforms. So one of the interesting layers that they have is they are from the UK. And I don't think we have reviewed any of the platforms so far that were from the UK. We have reviewed a lot of them from Germany, from France, a lot of open source platforms from France as well as Germany as well. But UK, I believe this is probably the first one. In the UK in general, whether you talk about the e-commerce ecosystem or the ERP ecosystem, some of the common names in the UK market are going to be your Sage is probably from UK, that is the ERP company. I believe in the OMS category, Brightwell is going to be from the UK. And typically when you look at any of the solutions, they are probably going to share similar philosophy in general, the way they are going to design their solution. So we are probably going to find some similarity in the solution as well, just because they are from that geography. The most common similarities are probably going to be in terms of the payment providers in general. So we are going to review that as well as we get into the weeds of the review. Now, when you think about the e-commerce platforms in general, most of the e-commerce platforms, they are going to have some sort of tie-up with the payment providers. And the whole idea, the reason why these e-commerce platforms are so affordable, especially for smaller businesses, when you look at the pricing of any of the ERP systems, they become very expensive in general. But e-commerce platforms in general are slightly more on a cheaper side. And you have no idea how much it is really going to cost in running, in enabling these e-commerce platforms. And one of the reasons why they are so affordable is because they are trying to make money from your transactions, okay? So regardless of whether you like the Shopify model or any other e-commerce platforms that are there in the market, so either there are going to be two layers. Number one, they are going to be open source because you are sort of sourcing this whole knowledge pool and you are maintaining the platform because of the community efforts. And the second reason is going to be that they have some sort of payment affiliation. So those two categories are probably going to be most common. If a platform does not have these two layers, then it's probably going to become really expensive. And especially if you look at the SMB market, these two layers are very interesting. So in this particular case, obviously, these guys are affiliated with a payment provider as well. Initially, when they started commercializing, and one of the things that most e-commerce vendors, what they are going to do is they are going to have a pitch that Shopify is going to charge per transaction. I am not going to do that. I am a technical platform and you don't have to pay the transaction fee. But if you look at their relationship in the market, the way they have architected, the way they have structured their payment, they'll have some sort of either cut from the payment or some sort of affiliation with the payment providers. Again, these guys have to make money regardless of the e-commerce platform that you are going to be choosing. And you have to figure out, okay, how do they make money? And that will speak for the kind of support that you are going to get from these e-commerce platforms, as well as the kind of experience that you are going to get. Again, review all of that whenever you are considering any sort of. So now let's get into the slides and we are going to review their history. So we typically review these technologies from four or five different perspectives. Number one, we are always looking at how are they trying to position themselves in the market. And that could be based on their marketing material. It could be based on their case studies, where they are winning most. Then we look at a lot of different other factors, such as your press releases, whether they have been consistent throughout. Did they change anything from their positioning perspective? Then we are looking at product design. What is the psychology of the design? Is it consistent with the target market that they are targeting? Is it going to work for those industries? Then we look at user reviews, etc. So many different layers overall. In our review, we are not looking at just one data point. We are looking at everything, and we are trying to paint the picture in terms of where they are going to be the strongest fit and the kind of risks that you need to be aware of that they might not be telling you or that might not be obvious by simply looking at the demo or by talking to salespeople or by talking to the customer. So in general, our reviews are slightly more on a deeper side. So this slide is about market positioning. So let's look at what they are telling about their market positioning. So number one thing that they are claiming is one out of every five online shops in the UK is powered by this solution. Now, that's a very overarching claim. That is possible, but you need to look at, okay, which particular market segment are we talking about? Because even if they have one out of every five online shops, if you are targeting very small shops, sometimes the total GMV of the smaller shop is probably going to be equivalent to one of the biggest Fortune 50 enterprise. So it's not a real fair comparison. And, you know, you need to read between the lines when you are looking at these claims. So again, there is a possibility that they might be powering, and I don't know how big UK e-commerce market is in general, but they are trying to commercialize themselves as more UK-friendly e-commerce platforms. And in the case of e-commerce, as well as ERP, it matters a lot more in general that you have to belong to the geography, because you are going to have regulations, you are going to have monetary movement and the payment providers. So typically, each of the geography is going to have its own constraints with respect to money. And that's what makes any sort of transactional system, any systems that are going to have financial transactions, it's very hard in general. And that's why it's not a plain technology. It's slightly more business system. So even in the case of e-commerce, you still need to look for whether it is going to support the payment provider that you are going to have in that geography, and whether the UK-centric processes, whether you talk this more from the tax perspective. So again, the business layer is extremely important when you are reviewing this platform. So this is definitely going to be friendly for the UK market. But again, when you look at the e-commerce, you are looking at many different layers. You are looking at the support for the business functionality, but technology is equally important, because if you cannot rank on Google, then you are going to have a hard time surviving as the e-commerce player. So here, the other claim that they are making is, our 2 decades of experience and a team of 70 e-commerce experts. So in general, the team is very small compared to some of the leading vendors that you are going to have. So obviously, you are going to see this in their reviews, the kind of support you are going to get from the team. So pay attention to that, especially when it comes to the product companies. You require a lot more manpower. You require a lot more investment to be able to run these systems. If you're simply working with a consultant and they are not really supporting the platform, they don't have their own code, then that's okay. Then you can work with those companies. But for the most part, when you look at the product companies, they need to have much higher strength overall from the manpower perspective. Some companies could be small just because they are outsourcing everything else. For example, their sales distribution, everything could be outsourced overall from the technology distribution perspective. So sometimes they could be like 200 people or 300 people. For example, in the ERP market, if you look at Acumatica, the way their business model is, it's very different in general. And that's why they are able to manage with just 300, 400, 500 people. But if you look at other companies, in four, they are probably going to have 20,000 people. So depending upon what your business model is in the enterprise software market, sometimes you could survive just based on 70, 100 people. But for the most part, when you are implementing it yourself, when you are supporting it yourself, you probably require a lot more people. So for this particular platform, 70 is probably a lower number. Now, let's look at some more comments here. So in terms of the market positioning, they have 70 plus customizable, which is not bad. I don't know how many you are going to find when you are going to be looking at Shopify BigCommerce. Probably it's comparable, because when you are looking for the real theme, that is probably going to be paid. So number of themes are not as bad. You have a lot of options in general. But again, I don't think the platform is going to be as well documented. It's probably not going to be as open as some of the known ones, just because they have far bigger teams, far higher manpower. So all of these factors are going to be relevant when you are going to be deploying or utilizing any of these platforms. So now, some of the interesting piece of functionality that they have mentioned is trade discounts. And trade discounts, if you are not familiar with this term, it's going to be really relevant in two layers. Number one, when you are looking at that building material space, or when you are looking at slightly more B2B space, that's where you are going to find
terms such as trade discount. Sometimes companies call this as more of the rebates. That's going to be common in other B2B verticals as well, where you are going to have, let's say, buying groups. It's very common to have trade discounts, and sometimes incorporating that functionality as part of your e-commerce platform becomes extremely difficult if the platform was not really designed to accommodate trade discount. If you are going to be using a CRM, then it becomes even more difficult because CRM is going to have very different database from your e-commerce. So now, how are these two systems going to talk to each other? And typically, let's say if you are going to be e-commerce, you are going to be super on board with utilizing something like HubSpot, but HubSpot is not necessarily designed for B2B workflows. So sometimes accommodating that could be very difficult unless you are customizing the platform a lot. If you customize, obviously, that is going to be very expensive in general. From the development cost perspective, from the maintenance perspective, you can probably do that on any platform. But when you look at the core capabilities, whether the platform is really designed for those patches, it's going to be really difficult. So again, when you look at the trade discounts functionality, if it is going to be built as part of the e-commerce platform, that could be handy. And now, depending upon the architecture that you are trying to build, if you are going to have CRM, this could be slightly more difficult to be able to accommodate that, because you need to have this in both places and you need to make sure both of them are going to sync. But for the most part, when you look at the target market of EKM, for the most part, they are looking at very smaller shops. They are probably not going to have a dedicated CRM. They might use something like Klaviyo for email marketing, but they are not going to have a full CRM for B2C as well as B2B processes. So in their case, having trade discount may be handy. By the way, the other hint that you are going to get from this is if they have very specific functionality built for building trade, most likely they are selling a lot to building trade market. And the reason why this is going to be a fit for them is, in general, the building trade market is a very unique market. It requires very interesting piece of functionality that your mainstream platform providers may not be able to provide that. And this particular market is also going to be very fragmented, the way the market operates, because you are going to have a lot of different contractors, and those contractors are trying to have their own sort of e-commerce presence. So that's why you are going to have many different contractors that are going to be acting as more of the B2B or distributor. So that's why they need trade discounts, just because they are going to be super small. They cannot really afford to go for slightly larger brands. So keep that in mind, that their target market is probably going to be building materials. That's where they are winning a lot. And that's why they would have that piece of functionality. If you are very small in the building material space, you might actually like this platform, just because you are going to get a lot more functionality that you might not find in other horizontal platforms. Now, dropshipping is a very interesting functionality as well that they have built as part of the platform itself. Now, the challenge in having dropshipping functionality here is going to be, okay, so is this platform going to be doing your fulfillment? And that's completely okay when you are going to be very small, because your e-commerce platform is trying to act as your CRM system. It's trying to act as more of the OMS system. Sometimes you might not even have an ERP. It's trying to act as an ERP system. And then it's also going to act probably as your WMS system as well. So obviously in the smaller patches, most of the platforms are going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting in general. But once you outgrow that, then you sort of have to decouple these processes. If you don't decouple, then your architecture is going to be very hard in general to be able to implement. So again, this is designed for very specific target market. So make sure you understand that. In that, probably you require that integrated experience. And that's why they have that as part of the platform. Now, print on demand is a very interesting feature set as well. And that is going to be relevant when you are going to be in that print business. And in general, the even print business is extremely fragmented as well. Most of the e-commerce players in this particular segment are probably going to be doing $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 probably in GMV. And that itself could be a stretch. And that's why it's probably a fit for them, because they have very unique processes. And that's why they are trying to build all of this. When you talk about print on demand functionality, that itself could be very difficult to implement. And that's why they have that. They have other layers. So now from this, you are getting a little hint that they are probably present a lot in the print space. They are also present in the building material space. So hopefully using these hints, you'll be able to find the target market for a lot of platforms out there with the same approach that we are trying to coach you as part of these sessions. Now, some more commentary here. And one of the things that even if they might not tell you is that every single e-commerce platform that I mentioned in the beginning is probably going to be affiliated with some sort of payment providers. That's how these guys make money. They cannot feed their families if, based on the amount that they are charging for your e-commerce subscription. In general, they have to make money using the payment provider, whether they tell you right away or they do it afterwards. They have to sometimes, they might not tell you right away, or they might not mandate the payment provider platform, is because they are trying to get as many customers and they are losing a ton of money. Okay. So the risk that you run into when you are going to be on that platform is you don't know when they are either going to be out of business, just because any business cannot just keep losing money. So you have to figure out how do they make money, and you want to make sure that any of the vendors that you are engaging with, you have to figure out how they make money, and they need to be making enough money. Number one, to be able to support the platform. Number two, to be able to do the R&D. And number three, that the business has to be sustainable in the long run. And here, they were affiliated with ClearCourse, is the payment provider. And most of the payment providers, what they are trying to do is they are trying to acquire either the commerce capabilities, and sometimes the e-commerce is just a sort of free tool that they are trying to launch, because obviously they want to sell their payment solution, and it becomes very hard to sell the payment solution unless you have control on the platform itself. So it is sort of their way of creating these offerings. So that's why every single e-commerce platform out there has very tight correlation with the payment provider. So here they are talking about EMN EKM is proudly part of ClearCourse, a UK-based technology group that provides software and payments. So even though they are calling themselves as technology group, they are really more of the payment provider for small to medium-sized enterprises. And even though they are using the word enterprises, for the most part, they are talking about startups, including startups, national retailers, many of the best-known charities, and notable brands across various sectors. So they are talking about national retailers as well. So from the payment perspective, they might be penetrated with some of the national retailers. Maybe they have a POS solution, and that's how they are penetrated there. But for the most part, their target market is really that SMB. The other hint that you are going to get from this commentary is going to be that they are also trying to penetrate into that charity market. And in general, even in the charity market, you are going to have very small hobby-like e-commerce shops, and that's their play, because they are trying to differentiate themselves from the mainstream vendors, and that's why the whole product design, the roadmap is going to be very influenced by the target market that they are targeting. So number one, building material. Number two is going to be the print business, and number three, charity. All of them are substantially fragmented. The way these markets are structured, they are not going to have $1 million in GMV. It's probably going to be 50, 10, sometimes 10,000, sometimes 100,000. That is the kind of target market that you are looking for this particular solution. Now, the other things that they are trying to launch is the subscription payments. And again, subscription payment is interesting space right now. At one point of time, it was really hard because of Klarna, but now people are struggling with the credit challenges. And so I don't know how successful the subscription payment is going to be. And by the way, this is basically buy now, pay later. And there is a difference between subscription payments and buy now, pay later a little bit. So I don't know whether they are really trying to commercialize the subscription payments, which could have a far better sticky factor, because you are sort of billing them on a periodic basis, and that changes the whole accounting the way that is done. So if they have that capability, that could be very strong. And in some of the patches, for example, let's say if you talk about print business, in the case of print, the subscription payments could be handy, especially if you are targeting the B2B accounts, because sometimes these guys are going to have the requirements on a monthly basis, so they could have a little recurring expense there, and they might want to subscribe to the subscription just because it's probably going to be cheaper for them to buy. So it's going to be win-win for both of the parties. For e-commerce vendor, you have a little sense of reliability overall from the revenue perspective. So overall, it's a very interesting business model in general. And for these vendors that they are able to offer, that obviously that's a big deal. Now, here we are talking about by using ClearCore's payment processing business. ClearAccept is the name of their offering from the payment perspective. Integrate payments into our software, meaning our clients no longer need a third-party payment gateway. How they are trying to position in the market is you no longer need a third-party gateway, but actually they are trying to sell their gateway so that they can make money from the transaction. So again, you have to read between the lines about these things. You might get better rates with a third-party gateway, but they will make it difficult for you to use when you are going for this platform. So you definitely need to keep in mind where that affiliation is coming from. Again, if the rates are friendly, they are giving comparable rate, happy with the platform, then go for it. But again, do research in terms of which payment provider it is, what you are getting out of what you're paying. There is no free lunch as such. Every single platform is fairly positioned. They all are charging fair rates because it's a very competitive in general. You simply need to understand what you are getting out of what you are doing. So here they are saying EKM Pay integration is purpose-built for EM clients. Yes, it is purpose-built and they are doing it intentionally. And the reason for that is because that's how they make money, as I've already pointed. Then they are saying ClearCore means we are backed financially, which is good as well, because you have a payment provider that is backing them, so they are never going to run out of money, which is probably a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because you are always going to be tied to that particular payment provider because you don't have the freedom to move on from their payment gateway, even if they are going to be charging more. So that's the downside of that. So keep that in mind. Now, this is the pricing. And again, the pricing itself is very affordable in general. So they are looking at roughly $69 or euro or pound per month, I guess. And then that is up to 150k pounds in online sales per year, which is not a bad pricing in general. I think that's going to be very comparable. The only difference is going to be that transactional overhead that you have to pay with these platforms, and that's where they make a lot of money, and that's where you are going to have a little overhead. But overall, this particular platform is going to be very affordable, and this is probably going to be comparable with Shopify as well. So again, depending upon why you are going with these guys, if you are going for UK function, if you are going for industry functionality, if you are going for UK payment provider integration, then this could be meaningful. But overall, if you look at the overall cost, you are probably not going to save a lot. So make sure you do research and understand what you are getting into before you commit to this platform. The other layer that you may want to understand is the 24/7 emergency support is not part of the standard package. And for e-commerce, sometimes that could be handy, especially when you are talking about smaller platforms like this. They are probably going to be extremely buggy in general. So you probably require a lot more support, and they are not offering that as part of the standard. So you are looking for the minimum spend. Roughly, that's going to be 2,400 pounds, which is, again, not bad in general per year when you look at the overarching cost. And here we are looking at roughly 1 million pound in online sales per year. So here, we are talking about the 15 employee accounts, and 15 employee accounts is a lot in general, but if you look at 1 million revenue, 15 is probably not enough, so pay attention to that as well. How many people are going getting the access? But obviously this is not going to be complete employee count. These are going to be the people who are going to be touching your e-commerce layers. Trade discounts only available with the advanced version. So again, that is a factor. If you are going to be in the building material space, and if you need that piece of functionality, then they are probably going to push you out there. The API access in general, you are probably going to be in the advanced bucket as well. They won't let you access the API unless you have that. And I don't know why you would want to play with APIs unless you are a developer yourself. Even if you are a developer yourself, I mean, you are better off spending time in running your business than focusing on development. It's not good for anyone unless, again, you are looking for very custom experience, custom store that you cannot get out of the box. So here, when you look at their overarching interface in terms of how they have done this, it's not bad. You have a lot of different options in general in designing that store, but it's going to be probably very similar to Elementor or probably leaner than that, or probably very similar experience as Wix, the way Wix interface is designed. So even though it is very elegant in general, the way it is appearing, but you might not have as many bells and whistles when you are going to look for that customizable experience, especially when you talk about embedding different pop-ups or playing around with the conversion rate optimization. So let's look at some more slides here in terms of the product design. Overall, when you look at their product design as well as the screen where they have the product set up, it's a very lean interface in general. So if you are going to be in that $1 million revenue range, probably you are going to outgrow this because you are going to have a lot more attributes and layers with your product model that this platform will not be able to support. And this is where you need to sort of make a decision. If you're looking for slightly richer product model, then probably you need to be looking at either Shopify or BigCommerce. They are going to have a lot more layers in general. But if you're looking for simpler platform and you are trying to develop this more in the DIY mode, this could be slightly easier to be able to use in general. Here, when you look at the product, you barely have anything in the way these guys have designed. Obviously, their target market is very different. Probably they are looking for these DIY customers. So they probably are not able to offer as many options. If they offer a lot of options, the screens are going to be so busy and then you require either the consulting time or the trip for yourself. So it becomes very complex. So this is designed for a very specific target market in mind. So if you are in that target market, this could be a great product. Now, let's look at some of the reviews. And, we typically try to find the patterns in those reviews. And if a lot of users are reporting anything consistently, then that's probably going to be a problem with these platforms. And we are trying to balance both of the perspective, not just from the vendor perspective. We are also looking to be fair with the vendors if the user might not be as educated as informed in terms of their appreciation for these platforms, then we are sort of trying to balance that as well. So here, with this review, we are looking at 6 days ago. So obviously, this is a very recent review in general. They have given them 1 star, but let's read the review and see where they are coming from. So here, they are talking about this particular brand who had decided to introduce transaction changes on all turnover over a set amount. No transaction fees on sales. So they are talking a little history here. I switched to EKM back in 2021 as they were cheaper than my existing e-commerce provider, Oxatis. Oxatis is where they moved from. So you can imagine where they are playing in which target market. So who had decided to introduce the transaction charges. So these guys are trying to move around different platforms just because they don't want to pay for the transaction fee. And that's the reason why they are switching. So every single e-commerce vendor is probably going to introduce some sort of transaction charges. So you are better off figuring out, okay, how you can pay that money, okay? Because at the end of the day, everybody has to make money. And that has to be in some form, whether they are selling paid themes or whether they are charging based on the transactions. You simply need to understand how do they make money. If they don't make money, then probably they are going to be in trouble. And because of that, you might run into trouble as well. So here, so they moved just because they had launched the transaction fee, but even these guys ended up launching the transaction fee as well. So here they are saying they introduced transaction fee. Imagine my surprise when just over a year into the contract, so they moved to this platform and within a year, even EKM started introducing the transaction fee. Because not many vendors can afford to run based on 200 or 300 they might be charging. per month, it's just not enough money to be able to support these platforms. So it's probably not fair to the vendors in general. So this service was both more expensive and less featured than my current card acquirer. And again, they moved the platform. And typically when you are replatforming any of the e-commerce platform, you are looking at significant development and design at time in general. So it's not fun exercise. I don't know why you would move that. And that's why you probably need to go with slightly more reliable platform. This is not fun for, and by the way, the time is equally critical as well, especially in business, right? So that's going to be a real challenge. So consider all of those factors if you're trying to switch the platforms. Now, here we have one more review. It's coming. It's very recent, 2023, Gen 17, super recent. And here they are complaining that the server network have gone down, but it is extremely occasional and relatively brief compared to others we use. Certainly so much better than 123 RAG, who we also use extensively. Now, when you are comparing with these lower end of the platforms, you might be okay. But typically, when you look at how Google thinks about these things, especially for the e-commerce platforms, they are not going to be cool with your site going down. That's a huge red flag for them, because that impacts the search experience, the user experience. So for the e-commerce platforms, the server network going down is a huge risk in general. You will not be able to rank as high. So that would be my biggest red flag in general with these platforms. Here, then we have another review coming from 2022, September 3rd. Here, the user is complaining, our journey with EKM has been smooth. In general, the reviews are very positive for the platform. Then they are saying EKM have advised us to change our payment gateway. So again, you will see, you will hear this from e-commerce platforms, regardless of whether they do it today or they do it after 2 years. You will see this, okay? And that's going to be a substantial investment from your side in designing and in the development. In general, the migration path is not going to be easy. You have to do the site, you have to redo the site completely. Even if somebody has figured out a tool to be able to migrate this, you will still require substantial manual effort with that migration. So again, whatever you are trying to save in that transaction fee, you are probably going to be paying a lot in that replatforming. So keep all of those cost variables in mind. So here they are saying change our payment gateway from Stripe to Clear Accept with adverse financial penalties if we do not. Can you believe? Okay, guys. So obviously they wanted to stay on Stripe because it's probably good for user experience, maybe slightly easier interface for users to be able to accept. Sometimes users are actually asking for the payment, their preferred payment providers. So that's another layer that you need to be thinking, that you cannot simply go by Clear Accept, because if user says that, you know what, I want to pay using PayPal. Now, is Clear Accept accepting that? Is it accepting in the interface that your users want to use? So it could get very tricky when you look at these pay providers and the way e-commerce experience is going to be. So it's very, very, very hard to sort of couple yourself just with one payment provider. And obviously, it is going to be in their best to switch it to Clear Accept. Which is probably not going to be as friendly for most of the merchants out there. So that's going to be a huge red flag for you, that you are looking for a payment provider that might not be as well known in general. Clear Accept, from what I can see, has negative feedback. Can you believe this? Okay. So negative feedback, it could be because the way they might be processing the payment, and when you are moving money, there could be so many different layers. Sometimes the money may get stuck because of these financial institutions, because they might feel that it is probably international movement and you might be flagged, and because of that, your users might suffer a lot of issues. Again, everything goes back to the customer experience, and payment providers in general play a huge role with your customer experience, the loyalty, your customer retention, as well as the conversion rate. So this is a huge topic in general, and you need to keep all of these things in mind when you are deciding a platform. So here, now the customer is kind of saying that we'll not be held to ransom, and they are sort of rebelling against their demand. But I don't think that's going to work because they have to switch. They have to make money. So, or they will do something crazy, and that is going to impact your search experience, customer experience that you don't want. So in general, if you can stay on ClearX app, this is a great platform. But if you're looking for other options, then probably you need to be looking. Now, some more interesting reviews. So this is also very recent. This is coming from May 2022. Here they are saying, days of my work deleted by EKM. Now, here they are commenting that I encountered an issue when clicking on various links would incorrectly lead to log out screen. So they had a bug. They were getting logged out from the screens and they reported this bug. And the user who reported this bug, they had a lot of work done in their test instance. So in general, when you are, let's say if you are doing the e-commerce for the first time, you are probably going to get a live site, you are going to get a test site. So they had a lot of work done on the test site. Then they ran into a challenge. They reported to EKM, and EKM support rep suggested that, you know what, you should be deleting your site. So here they are saying, I gave the test shop link as an example to EKM. Their idea of a fix was to delete the whole test shop. And now, sometimes when you are going to be dealing with these support reps, they are not going to be as experienced in general in forecasting the implications of whatever, you know, their job is just to fix that defect, okay? And sometimes that could mean that uninstall all of the plugins, okay? Uninstall your entire site. Now, if you are going to be simply following their instructions, they are simply trying to fix that issue, and they might not have any other way of fixing the issue than performing these steps. But you need to keep these things in mind. Once your site is gone, it's very hard to get that back. And that's exactly what. So, and that's why that consulting expertise is going to be super handy. In general, you need to have a seasoned either developer or the architect or the consultant who can look into these things from a lot of different perspectives. Typically, if you are going to be simply developing 2-3 years, you don't really have the complete perspective with respect to development, deployment, project management, change management, customer experience, so many different factors. So here they are talking about they did this. When I complained, it became clear they don't have backups and they didn't even apologize. Deleting every line of code to get rid of a small amount of broken code is irresponsible. Login issues do not completely break shops, but deleting large chunks of someone's work without prior notification does cause low review ratings. Now, just to be fair with these, typically, even if you are going for one of the mainstream platforms, let's say if you are hosting the site on WordPress or Magento, and then you are going for some of the big names like Kinsta, they are going to be really known in the hosting space, even they are not going to have backup for the, because for the test site, when you are going to have the backup, it's very expensive from the infrastructure perspective, because these guys are trying to pay to either AWS or to Azure. Even if they have their own data center, they still have to pay for that IT infrastructure. Now, you are literally paying them $20, $30, maybe $200, but that's a very small amount of money to be able to maintain this. And having backup, you have to pay for the storage. So think from their perspective. And that's the reason why they typically don't have the backup for the test site. Now, as a user, you need to know this, okay, what you have, what you don't. So in this particular case, it's not really the vendor that is the problem. It's your education. You have to hire a decent consultant who really can understand these things, and they are doing this on a daily basis. If you are doing this on a one-off basis, then you are probably going to be wasting a lot of your time as well as money. So in this particular case, obviously you lost a lot, because that was your work. Maybe you hired a designer and they probably put a lot of time in doing this. So you lost that money as well, just to save some money that you probably would have gone for slightly more mainstream platforms such as Shopify. Even they could have issues, but in this particular case, it's probably not the vendor. It's really the education of the user that is the issue. So one more review here coming from 2020. And in this particular case, we have retail, self-employed, and used daily for 2+ years. So for the most part, the kind of reviews that we have, they are coming from slightly more hobbyist business. Those are the ones that are probably going to perform. So here they are commenting, only interested in taking the free. In general, that's how most OEMs are. When you are looking for slightly more consulting support, in general, people are very expensive. The labor is very expensive. So you cannot expect that from the OEMs. So in general, you're paying $200, $300. You know, this is probably the best that you're going to get from any OEM. Here, they are saying regularly had issues around Christmas period when website was down completely. That's crazy. Okay, if you are going to be down on Christmas, that is probably your peak sales period. And the website is going down during that time. Number one, you are losing sales. Number two, you are probably going to be losing your ranking on Google as well. And that's not good for the e-commerce site. So when you look at these e-commerce systems, they are far more than just the technical systems, because you can lose a lot from the business perspective. So again, don't simply pay attention to the price tag. You are looking at a lot more variables when you are deciding these platforms. So here they are saying, found out from a customer that the site was not taking card payments. And again, they had the issue in their payment provider. Number one, they are mandating. Number two, they are putting the adverse financial penalties if you don't move. And then they have the card payment issue as well. So obviously, their payment gateway is not as reliable as something like Stripe is going to be. So let's say even if you move to this e-commerce solution just because you like it, you want to move to it, but then the payment provider is going to be a problem. So again, it's very tight in general the way this e-commerce platform is, because even if you are not going to have issues with your e-commerce platform, you are probably going to have issues with your payment gate, and you don't really have an option to move to something else. If you are going to move, either they are going to put a lot of penalties or they are going to make it very difficult for you to be able to use those payment gateways. Very difficult in general. Now, here they are saying previously lost email facility and was told that I need to pay extra. Can you believe this? To be on more reliable servers, and that could be the pricing tiers. So when you are going to be on lower tiers, typically you are on a very crowded infrastructure. In general, the best way to think about this is, let's say you have a room and a room has a capacity, and the IT capacity works in the similar way. So let's say if you have very small room that can accommodate, let's say, 3 people, probably they can sleep on the floor or whatever. But when you are going to be putting, let's say, 30,000 people in the same room, it's not going to be fun. Okay, so that's how the IT capacity works. Whatever you are going to pay, they are going to decide. They are going to do the simple math in terms of how many people they are going to putting in that room, because obviously they are not paying from their pocket. So when you are looking at simple price tag on the e-commerce side, it's not as simple, because you will suffer somehow. So either it is going to be based on the payment gateway, or it is going to be from the IT capacity planning perspective. So rather than looking at the price tag, you should be looking at all of these variables, because they are going to hurt you a lot more in general from the business perspective. When you look at the total cost of ownership, when you look at the total ROI, then you look at the technical and financial risk. So you should be thinking about these things comprehensively, and you need to hire people who probably have experience in doing this, so that number one, you are not going to lose your ranking. Number two, you are not going to lose your sales. Again, when you are starting your business, you cannot afford, it could be okay. But when you are able to afford, make sure you have somebody on your side. They can do this comprehensive analysis to be able to tell you all of these risks. Otherwise, you are probably going to find later, and that could be a very expensive move in general. And in general, replatforming is going to be very expensive. So one more review here. We have Joanna and retail, 2 to 10 employees. And that's been very consistent. The kind of businesses that are using this platform, they are either the solo founders or a couple of people or employees they are going to have. So obviously, these businesses are very small in general. Used daily for 2+ years. EKM Power Shop, ideal for startups. That is right as well. If you are a startup, but a startup could mean a lot of different. Okay, a startup could be Series A. Startup could be one-man shop. So if you are more on that one-man shop category, that's where this is probably going to be a fit. So this is also coming from 2022. So obviously, it's very recent. Here they are saying EKM really helped us to get established with a new e-commerce website and helped our business grow. I would recommend to anyone in the UK, and she's very specific in mentioning the UK, because if you are going to be outside of the UK, I don't know how this platform is going to work, because their payment gateway is probably available only in the UK. That seemed to be a very unique payment gateway. So if you are going to go for the other geography, it's probably not going to work. Need to keep that in mind. Just starting up as its variant, the other things that you need to keep in mind, if that particular payment gateway is going to be very common in the UK, and if you don't have that integrated as part of your Shopify e-commerce, that could be a challenge as well. And some of the other common ones, WooCommerce, Magento, if you don't have that integration, sometimes that integration could be very expensive as well. So make sure you pay. And even if you are technically able to integrate, you might still run into challenges if that is not supported natively by the platform. So again, the geography matters a lot with respect to the e-commerce platforms. The payment providers that are supported in that geography matters a lot as well. So make sure you guys keep. So just starting up, as it's very simple to use, average price, and the UK support makes it invaluable while you are learning the ropes, and especially for the founders, that could be very handy, because the VAT structure, the taxation structure is very different in the UK market. So at least you have some support from the UK perspective. So in a way, that is good, especially if you are starting on the e-commerce journey. You are probably not going to get the same touch from Shopify e-commerce. So that could be a huge plus if you are considering this platform. Unfortunately for us, we outgrew the software, and they are 2 to 10 employees, and they outgrew. So you can imagine how small the platform is in general. So the software and have recently switched to Shopify. They ended up switching. So obviously, the UK market has great support in the Shopify ecosystem, and that's how they are able to switch Shopify. They are able to find the taxation, the payment providers in that market. That's why they are able to do it. So obviously, Shopify is going to be one of your choices that you probably need to be looking at in that market. So here they are saying, we felt very restricted with the layout design. So even though from the screens we saw that the layout was very easy to use, but once you start using it, then only you are going to know how limited that is going to be. And some of these platforms could be significantly limiting, especially if you are running a shop where you really care for the design and the layouts and the landing pages. And most e-commerce owners are probably going to care for them, because that drives your conversion rate. So if you are going to be limited with respect to design as well as the product data model, that's a huge limitation. Again, when you are starting out, when you care for that UK experience, this could be great, but not when you are going to be. So here also the inventory management side wasn't as great. So as we saw from the screens, that their product model was very simplified. So again, this is designed for very small startups in general. So if you are that, then this could be great. But once you can afford, then probably move to. We felt that we grew out of the software as our business grew and needed to take the next step on our journey. Too costly to manage and constantly update. This is the reason for choosing EKM powered shop. So too costly to manage and constantly update. Layout and functionality became outdated. So they probably were talking about the other platform that they moved from. So it's the negative for them, not for EKM Power Shop. Reasons for switching to EKM Power Shop: UK based support, and that's a big deal. Obviously, you need to keep that in mind if you are choosing a platform. So that's it for the session. So in summary, if you are a very small startup and you might be, let's say, just one man shop, maybe you have 50,000, 100,000 in GMV and you are based in the UK and care for that UK experience, then this platform is going to be handy. But make sure you account for the replatforming cost when you are going to be moving to another platform. On that note, thanks everybody for tuning in for this session. And if you joined for the first time, this was part of our e-commerce series, for which we meet every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you guys are going to be here next week. We are going to come back with another solution or the vendor. On that note, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I always pick learnings from our reviews,
and hopefully you picked up some learnings for yourself as well. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to get you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.